than talent's the touch of God. I tell people that. And it's good to have talent. I tell people all the time, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All noise isn't joyful. And if you've ever had to preach after some of it, don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm saying. You ever had to preach that? Listen, all noise isn't joyful. But thank God for joyful noise. And I like talent meeting touch, don't you? Thank God for that tonight. I'm sorry I can't be in the morning service. I'm looking forward to getting back. One of the men in my church drove me down tonight. One of our deacons, his wife passed away. I'll be preaching her funeral tomorrow. And I have to get back to do that in Statesville. Drive back in tonight and then we'll be back tomorrow, preacher, as you know. And you pray for that family. He's been 51 years. And he told me, he said, preacher, the only thing I want to do is I want to go home with her. And just a very special couple. So you pray for us tomorrow. And I appreciate our associate pastors at Calvary that are there at the funeral home tonight so that I could be here in the service. And I appreciate them doing that tonight. Mark chapter number 14, if you would, verse number 32 tonight. I want to welcome everybody that's in Statesville that are watching on the internet tonight. Many of them wanted to tune in and see this jubilee. They can't be here because of work, but I'm glad they could tune in tonight. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 32, if you would please. The Bible says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, set ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. With the help of the Lord tonight, I still have not completed this message. I was preaching in a jubilee several weeks ago down in Greensboro, North Carolina. I just had this tucked in my Bible. It was not my intention to preach it. I had been working on it, and the Lord had still been giving me things about it. We had been going through something in our church with a family that was facing the death of a child, and there had been a lot of heaviness because of that. And I was sitting in the jubilee that night, and Brother Tommy Steele had preached, and Brother Steele had got done, and boy, God was moving so great, and I thought I could just walk up there and say, God's good, and go have a seat. The Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to preach this message, and I still don't have no more of it than I have right now, and so you pray for me tonight. I just want to mind the Lord, but I want to preach tonight on this thought. When Gethsemane is home. When Gethsemane is home. And if God will help us tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit. I realize that in this service, though we are shouting, though there are many that are praising God, though there are many tonight that walk in here and there is a smile on your face, if God be witness, and I believe that He is tonight, there are many that walked in this building tonight and your heart is so very heavy. You are facing things that you've never faced before. You are dealing with things you've never dealt with before. There's some of you come to this jubilee and you're at the place, God, you must do something now. And Lord, if you don't do it now, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. But can I say this right now? I'm glad whether I'm up on the mountain or whether I'm down in the valley, I'm glad that God is good. good. I'm glad there's a God in heaven, and I'm glad there's a God in me, and I'm glad there's a God in the valley. Amen. So the help of God tonight, I want to preach on when Gethsemane is home. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for what our hearts have felt this evening. Lord, you know my limitations. Lord, you know tonight that, God, I don't want one thing to come out of my mouth that wouldn't glorify you. Lord, I want to be a blessing to this pastor and a blessing to these people. And Lord, most of all, I want to honor you. And God, I want to do my best to bring glory to Jesus. Father, I know it's not about me. It's not about our singers. It's not about this church. And God, it's all about you. And Lord, tonight I pray you just use what you gave me. And then God, when I'm done, Lord, I'll get out of the way. Because Lord, I want you to use tonight, this hour, this time, to speak to our heart. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You be seated tonight. One of my favorite places to preach from in the Bible is when Israel is released out of Egypt. You know very much about that, and I know many of you that preach that, and many of you that have read through your Bible know a lot about the Exodus from Egypt. A lot of pictures in the Bible. I thank God for every picture. And I know that when those people of God come out of Egypt, what a great picture of those people being released from bondage. I thank God for the day that the Lord released me from the bondage of sin and Satan. Amen. I'm glad whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Thank God for that tonight. When they came out, the Bible makes a reference. The Bible says when they came out with a high hand. Other words, the Bible says, and I do believe that God's speaking of that great hand of God that has delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And can I say this tonight? If you're going to heaven, you're not going to heaven because a preacher got you there. You're not going to heaven because of signing a card. You're not going to heaven getting wet in a baptismal pool. But if you're going to heaven tonight, it was one day the hand of God reached down farther than you could ever reach up and set your feet on a solid rock and established your going. But I also believe tonight that surely out of all of that crowd leaving, somebody bound to have their hand in the air. Somebody bound to have been saying, hallelujah, what a Savior. Somebody bound to have been saying, thank God Egypt's behind and Canaan land's ahead. And what a day that's going to be. This past Sunday, we had six teenagers saved in our morning service. And we reached lost kids. I go after them as rough as they are. I love it. Amen. I mean, praise God. Listen, we had two boys on a Statesville basketball team got saved Sunday. I mean, I had to look up to them youngins. Man, I don't know what they fed them, but hallelujah. Big old boys, and they had earrings hanging out the ear, and the britches wasn't exactly pulled real tight. And there's it. But can I tell you this, man? When Jesus showed up, them old boys got tears dripping off their face, came down to that altar, and got saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I got it that way. My breeches may have not been baggy. I might have not had an earring in my ear, but buddy, I done went to hell just like anybody else. What I went to hell, and I'm so glad God saves. Amen. I have a couple teenagers in the church. One of them is this little, and I don't mean any disrespect by this little black girl, and the other one is a girl that comes out of a very bad area of our city. And my church is in a bad area. I tell people we don't have drive-by visitors. We have drive-by shootings. Amen. I tell people don't stay in the parking lot long. Amen. Matter of fact, I tell the neighborhood, see anybody smoking in the parking lot, shoot them. Amen. But anyway, we have these teenage girls. And those teenage girls, man, they got saved. They ain't never been around around it. They don't know much about it. And we were sitting in a youth meeting the other night, and I was sitting down with my wife and daughter, and we were sitting beside of them, and God got to moving, and about 30 young people got saved, and we were sitting there, and boy, somebody was up there singing. I looked over one of them girls sitting there, and I said, "Here it comes." And she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, here comes what?" I said, "I'm telling you, here it comes." And she said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I said, "Just wait a minute, here it comes." About the next thing, buddy, you know how it is? One of them big waves come rolling in, Brother Tim, and buddy, the Holy Ghost showed up in power, and folk got to shouting and praising God and hitting out. She looked at me and she said, "How'd you know that?" You know, you can't explain that. I just said, "Well, I just do." About three-quarter way through the service, another wave was coming. I looked over my left, and she was shouting. I looked at her, I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I saw it coming." Amen. Ain't been saved no time. I didn't say, "How'd you know?" I knew how she knew. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad when I got saved by the grace of God, I come out with a high hand. I am not ashamed. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've been born again. Thank God for salvation. You bring your eyes up to me this minute. I'm going to say something. I move on. I get so tired of going to Baptist churches where people done got over being saved.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
I go in Baptist churches, they'll shout over everything but being saved. Amen. Can I tell you right now, I know where I should be. I know what I was. Now watch, I'm not everything I ought to be. Brother Fleming, I'm a long way from what I ought to be. But Brother Steve, hallelujah, when I take a look over my shoulder, I'm so glad I'm not what I was. And I'm glad the grace of God has saved me, Brother Randy, and changed my life. High hand. Brother Wishon, God did this for me. I don't know what he did for you. But tonight I got saved, the stars went on dress parade. I walked outside. I believe every star was winking at me. Huh? I ain't, Brother Stewart, I ain't never felt the breath of God so good. I walked out tonight. I wasn't even sure what I really had, but I knew it felt good to have it. Amen? High hand. I wished all of life could be like that. Boy, don't you? I remember when God called me to preach, first thing that went through my mind was, oh man, everybody's going to love me now because everybody loves a preacher. I thought, Brother Stewart, what a life, man. God's called me to preach. God saved me. Everybody loves a preacher. Then I learned something. Depends on what kind of preacher you is. Hey, man, that's got a lot to do with it. Hey, I promise you, glass houses in California and smiling little preachers they might like. But, honey, if you get down in that King James Bible and preach what God says and stand on what God says, everybody might not like it, but it still feels good to preach it. High hand. Can you see Israel coming out of there? Hallelujah. No more mud, free from the bondage. High hand. I can't walk like Tommy Steele wished I could. High hand. Amen. Watch now. Once they leave out of there, it's not long. God gets them to another place. And there's coming another place. And I want to deal with this place just a moment. Here's another place I love. And not many of them got to go. You know that. Well, Joshua and Caleb, I got a good study I love doing on them boys. Oh, Caleb, he waited around for his mountain. Amen. And God may let us touch on that this week. He waited around for his mountain. But watch this now. I like Canaan land too. Now, when I got saved by the grace of God, that was a great day. When God took me to Canaan land, oh, don't get nervous. I got it one time. Huh? Can't get more of the Holy Ghost than the Holy Ghost. You know that. Holy Ghost is a person, not an it. Amen. All you can get of a person is a person. I understand that. But if you've ever been to Canaan land, you know what I'm talking about. I was just a Christian going through the thing. Then all of a sudden, buddy, I got some grape juice on my face. And I found out it gets better farther on. And I found out how good it is. My youth pastor back when I was in Burlington, and he's pastor now, he's got four girls, and pretty little girls. Back when I was his pastor, he had four, three of them anyway. And we always go to Golden Corral, you know, used to then. I can't anymore, my stomach can't handle it, you know. But anyway, it's a different message. we go to Golden Corral on Sunday night, you know, go out there and go to the salad bar. And I have a pet peeve. I have one thing that really bothers me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I cannot stand a messy eater. I mean, it's hard for me to eat when folk got junk on their face. You know? I mean, I don't care who I'm with. If you got mess on your face, I'll say, sir, excuse me, but you got something on your face? Hey, man, I just can't do it. Brother Craig had these girls. Every time we go somewhere to eat, they'd sit right in front of me. And I'm talking about little old crumb grabbers. You know what I'm talking about? And they'd sit right in front of me. And it never failed. Their mama every time would get them two things. Cream potatoes, green peas. Not no fork or spoon. Put it down in the plate. Y'all hungry, girl? And they'd start. Pooh. Some of y'all raising, look, Brother Paquette, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of people like you's made me have to get over bitterness, amen? And I'm telling you, man, they would get cream potatoes up their nose. There'd be peas stuck all in their face, dribbling off their chin. I mean, buddy, it would be all over them, and I'd be about to gag, son. You know, you try not to look, but you can't help it. You ever notice that? You ever know somebody's got something on their face, you'll try not to look. But every time you move your head, you look at it. I don't know what it is. I get sick of my stomach. I can't handle it. I try not to look. Amen. But now watch. There was one thing you knew about them girls. You knew they'd been to Golden Corral. You knew they had green peas and mashed potatoes. And the reason you knew it, watch now, it was all over their face. Amen. Wasn't no problem. When they got up, it was there. When you looked at them, it was there. Honey, when I went to Canaan land and I got some of them grapes, I'm glad it got all over my face. And I want everybody to know that it's there, not it's there. Joshua and Caleb come back, they didn't have to say a thing. All that other crowd came back, I believe it was just clean face. Joshua and Caleb come back, pieces of grape stuck over here, juice. Now you travel a little bit, you with some Baptists would get a hold of some grapes. I preached in churches before. When I heard somebody sneeze, I said, God heard that sneeze. Thank you, God heard that. Hey, man, you know what I'm talking about, Brother White? God heard that. I know everybody. I know every church don't shout. But, honey, we can at least smile. Amen. We can at least act like we're enjoying ourselves. I preached a meeting in Charleston, South Carolina. I drove all day to get there, walked in the building. There's one other person in the building besides me. That's it. I was early. I done drove 5 hours in a car to get there. I walk in the building. I guess the building probably was the size of maybe one row of these pews. And I walked in the building. I sat on the front row. I'm the only person in it besides a woman that's come through the door. She walks up. I said, ma'am, how are you? Here's exactly what she said. No hesitation. Great, you're in my seat. Brother Ray, today. There ain't nobody in the building but me and her. Matter of fact, when church started, it wasn't much more than that. But me and her, the only one. She said, you're in my seat. Now, I know all of y'all that flew in here tonight and your wings are out there in the foyer. I know tonight that you would have just been so kind. But inside, I got mad. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Inside, I was going, I thought some stuff. I moved, sat somewhere else. She was a piano player. So I could at least use the seat a little while. Found out it was the First Baptist of the Deep Freeze, pastored by Jack Frost. No wonder. Man, had to preach to something like that all the time. Lord have mercy, I'd admit myself. Amen. I'd get some help. Wasn't no grape juice present. Wasn't no mashed taters and green peas. Huh? What I'm saying tonight is wouldn't it be great if all of our experience was remembering and rejoicing when we came out of Egypt? Wouldn't it be great tonight if our experience was the grapes of Canaan land? And that's all there ever was. But what about when Gethsemane is home? We can't always shout, preacher. Every year I've been to this meeting, you'll have several preachers or someone that will stand up, or you will tell folks about what they're going through in their life without getting too graphic. You may not want, but I mean, some of them are about to throw in the towel. Some of them been beat to death by their churches and people. Some have come in, preacher's wife, so discouraged. And they come walking into this meeting. One, I told somebody the other day, I said, if you get a chance, you go to the Jubilee at Gateway Baptist Church. If you get a chance, you go. I said, I'm going to tell you why you need to go. I said, across this country, I believe it's one of the best Jubilees in America. When you come here, you get help. When you come here, you get encouragement. It's what a Jubilee ought to be. Friend, when I come here, thank God, I'm glad. Hallelujah. I know when I come here, somebody's going to give me something to help me go another mile. There's some of you tonight, and Gethsemane is your home right now. You're not shouting coming out of Egypt. You're not shouting tonight in Canaan, but you're in Gethsemane. Your heart's broke. Tonight you're in a place where it's even hard to pray. You fall on your face and you leave it to the Holy Ghost to begin to groan for you and to pray with you as you really don't even know what to say. And Gethsemane is your home. Preacher Stewart was talking about, and all the young folks are here Friday morning, he's heard about a message God gave me on suicide and dealing with life about young people. I was preaching in a meeting. There was 700 teenagers in attendance. I preached a meeting and 100 kids out of fundamental Baptist churches raised their hand that they had contemplated suicide. 100. One young girl had bought the things to kill herself that night. Came and gave her testimony at our church the next Sunday morning about how God spared her life. There's a young man that I'll have with me probably Friday. He's 14 years old. When he was 10 years old, I was at our regional local hospital in Statesville. He had been hit by a ball in the leg, a baseball, and he had went into the hospital. And they said, look, we probably need to check that out. That swelling's not going down. I'll never forget this. Preachers, you've been there. I remember hearing that mother crying, screaming the hallway. And that boy, 10 years old, was diagnosed with a cancer that Baptist Hospital has never seen anyone survive as a kid. It was a muscle cancer. It was progressive. It was moving from his lower body to his lungs, to his heart, to his brain, and it had never been stopped. 10 years old. He went through months of chemo, went down to 84 pounds. While he was going through that, many a time his mom and daddy stopped by my home just weeping. Gethsemane. The same family in our church that had amen and hallelujah and boy had been blessed of God, and now their little boy's got cancer that he's got a 36% chance of survival to start. If it comes back again, it drops to about 16%, and it came back again. After it come back again, more treatments. Brother Randy, you've heard about this, but after it came back again, that somehow the tumor began to shrink. The doctor said the chemo's doing its job. But they told his parents, they said, there can't be a lymph node that comes back. If anything comes back, there is nothing we're going to be able to do. Hair started growing back on his head. Man, it just looked like he was a picture of health, starting to eat a little bit. And then I got another phone call, Gethsemane. He started hurting so bad in his side that he couldn't hardly stand up. And the cancer had begun to move. This time, the size of two golf balls pushing against his lungs. His mom and daddy stopped by my house from 7:30 at night to almost 1 in the morning and wept at my couch on their face. They said to them, 6 months if we do nothing. They said to them, 1 year maybe if we can slow it up. There are no more stopping it. This young man told his mom and dad, he said, listen, he said, I want the toughest chemo they got, whatever it is. He said, I'll take the time I got. And he said, but in the meantime, call the preacher and the church. And we started calling churches across this country. And he said, just get people to pray. And here's his exact words. I believe that God can heal me. He's 14. Now I realize, and I'm not saying that every person experiences what I'm getting ready to tell you, but we've had one of the greatest miracles in Statesville, North Carolina that I've ever witnessed as a preacher. Just about 3 weeks ago, Timmy goes to the hospital. They're going to do a scan. He's only had a couple weeks of chemo. They're not getting rid of the tumor. They're just trying to slow it up so he can live a little while. He goes back into the room. I'm talking about Gethsemane. He goes back into the room and the lady comes over and she puts a machine on him. His dad's in the waiting room. His mom's an ER nurse. She's back at home working in the emergency room. And Timmy's laying there and the lady comes walking out of the booth and she looks at him and she said, son, she said, is your name Timmy Belcher? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, you have rhabdomyoma, sarcoma, whatever. You've got that cancer, right? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'll be back. She goes out and another lady comes in. He said, preacher, for the next 30 minutes, they turned me every way they could. And he said, I had no idea what's going on. He said, they kept turning me and turning me and turning me. And the lady said, son, is your name Timmy Belcher? Did you come here with cancer? Is this your chart? And she's looking at two tumors the size of golf balls that were there a few days before. And he says, yes, ma'am. She said, son, wait a minute, I'm going to go get your dad. Tim's out here, Brother Stewart, and she comes to get his dad, and the nurse is literally shaking to the point that he can see it. Now, you got to understand, in Gethsemane, here's what they've been praying for. Timmy had been praying for God to heal him. His mom and dad had been praying that the medicine would shrink the tumor so he could live longer. And they got up and testified to my church how that their faith was weak. They prayed that, you know, they wanted to keep him longer when their son was praying different. The nurse comes in and said, Mr. Belcher, your son doesn't have cancer. Said, matter of fact, your son doesn't even have a lymph node that's got cancer. We can't even find a cell that's got cancer. Are you sure he had it? And they said, yeah, he had it when he left home. I don't know why he don't have it now, except God touched him. Oh, it gets better. He's got a team of specialists of over 11 or 12 of the best doctors North Carolina has to offer at Baptist Hospital. Most of them are unsaved. They put the charts up on either side. Here's the way a doctor with education like I couldn't even imagine looked at Tim and said, there it is. It's not there. His daddy said, what are we going to do? And he said, I have no idea. He said, we ain't never seen it like this. He said, you can't take something out that isn't there. The next day, another doctor walked into his room and he's up there and he walks into his room and he's got his glasses. He's a real tall fellow, about 6'6", and he got his glasses and he sits on the edge of the bed, just like this, looks at Timmy. Hear what he said. He said, Timmy, heard you got good news yesterday. He said, yes, sir, did. He said, I don't know what to tell you. He said, I ain't never seen that. He said, and his exact words, lost man. He said, I guess that praying thing you do works, doesn't it? See, you might have walked in here tonight. And you might come in here and be heavy, and your heart might be heavy. And you might come in here tonight, and it's been a while since you've been in Canaan, and it's been a while since you came out with your hand held high. But you might come in here tonight, fall down at the feet of God, get in the Gethsemane of your life, and pray that God. I want to give you three little things I jotted down about when Gethsemane's at home. I won't preach them long. I didn't mean to tell that story. I wasn't going to use it till when he's here. He'll be with me Monday, Friday. You need to meet him. You need to meet him. Young man of faith. Unreal faith. Unreal faith. Never cried. He just looked at the nurse. He said, that's what I expected. I promise you, that's the exact words a 14-year-old boy said. That's what I expected. Can I give you three real quick things about Gethsemane? I'll get out of the way. Number one, tonight in Gethsemane, we look for God's purpose. In Gethsemane, we look for God's purpose. Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. I realize God doesn't heal everybody. I begged God to heal my dad. It didn't happen that way. But when my dad left this world, I was in the room. The grace of God stepped in, and God healed him in another world, and God took care of him. But can I say this? I want God's purpose in my life. Whatever it is, whatever God wants, Lord, help me to seek your purpose for my life. So we hear of Esther, she came into the kingdom for such a time as this. In Gethsemane, we look for God's purpose. I was preaching a meeting one time, Brother Randy, and I made a statement preaching. The statement I made was sometimes I just question why. Yes, yes. And I had a spiritual person, and I think they meant it well, but they wanted to correct me, you know, just let me understand what I said. And I think they meant it well. I don't think it was any maliciousness at all. The person said to me, Brother Hazel, I enjoyed the message, but there's one thing you said I don't think you should do. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, you said sometimes you question God and ask why. I said, you ought not do that. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, how many sayings were on the cross of Calvary? Seven, right? I said, did God, Jesus, not say to the Father, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't saying that in the sense of God, but in the sense of the man that became God, that became man and dwelt among us. He was saying in the sense no one wants to endure the cross. He was saying in the sense if there's any way to get by and God turns his back on his own son and it grows dark with your sin and mine and he cries out, why? I believe it's okay to wonder why. I believe human nature would wonder why. I would drive myself crazy, Brother Mark, as a pastor, if every family that walked in my office that asked me why, if I tried to figure out why so I could tell them, he'd drive me crazy. You understand? For the kid that's been healed of cancer, there have been others that died. For a deacon's wife I'm burying tomorrow, that husband with a broken heart don't understand it all. But can I tell you this? I believe I serve a sovereign God. I believe I serve a God that's in control. I believe that nothing ever comes in my life that God doesn't know about. Watch now. When the Holy Ghost gave me this, he really helped me on this second point. Watch this. In Gethsemane, we look for God's purpose. Secondly, watch this. In Gethsemane, we long for God's presence. Lord, if you ain't gonna tell me why, would you be with me? You remember the time me and you sitting in your car, tears dripping off your face, and we were talking, and you said, preacher, sometime I don't understand it. But you said, Brother Chris, I know that God will be there. I know that God will be present. I know I can count on him. I may not understand it. There may not be an answer. But if all ever happened was in the middle of my nothing, God stepped in, and God showed up, and his presence came along and be all I need. Hallelujah to God.
Oh, yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
It may not be that God needs to change your situation. God just needs to change your surroundings. You know what I'm talking about, preacher? Hey, we weep our eyes out. We say, God, we don't understand. God, how are we going to make it? Hey, when nobody else's words help, when our own family's words don't help, when the preacher's words don't help, and you don't know which way you're going to go, and in the middle of the midnight hour, when nobody else is there, standing in the shadows, you'll find God, and he'll step in his presence. How many times in your life had a man come to me the other night in a service that just kind of got on at church, you know? He said, preacher, something weird happened to me in service. I said, what's that? He said, I was crying like a baby and smiling. Can anybody just give me a little amen? He said, preacher, I was crying like a baby. He said, preacher, the whole time I was crying, had the biggest smile on my face. He said, preacher, what is that? I said, buddy, that's when you cannot go to where he was. He came to you. That's when he showed up. And God's presence. You know what we need tonight, Brother Stewart, more than his healing power? We need his presence. You've heard those men on the mission field, bury my heart in the mission field, Lord. Give up their families and their lives. Why didn't God change that situation? You can ask why for 100 years, Brother Paquette, and you'd never understand. But buddy, the presence of God showing up, the power of the Holy Ghost coming in, the presence of God, you wouldn't take anything for it. Some of those times in my life when I feel like I could not stand, some of those times in my life when I feel like I could not go on, and all of a sudden the everlasting arms of a holy God lifted me up and carried me in his bosom and helped me get through it. In Gethsemane, When it's home, you learn. You look for God's purpose and you long for God's presence. He said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Thirdly, listen to me. In Gethsemane, we look for God's purpose. We long for God's presence. Let's face it. Some of you came this week and you said, "I just got to get around God. I just got to get around God." Brother Steve, the older I get, this gray hair on the side now, 45 years old, and this gray hair on the side, I get more calls than I used to from younger preachers. The other day I got a call from a fellow, and he said something like this: "Brother Hazel, since you're an older preacher." And I thought right off, I don't even like this guy. You know what I'm saying? But I understood where he was coming from. And he said to me, he said, "Preacher, I'm going to quit." Now, I'll go quicker. I got to tell you. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to quit." When he called me, I was with Timmy's family. And they just found out that he had 6 months to live. When the preacher called me, I answered the phone. They're in my house. And I say to him, and I won't call his name, but I said, "Brother," I said, "what's going on?" He said, "Look," he said, "Preacher, my wife doesn't even want to go to church anymore." He said, "She's been hurt. She's been stabbed." He said, "Preacher, my own family don't even want to go hear me preach. They don't, not because of me, they just don't even want to go. They're tired of it. They're done." And he said, "Preacher, I think I'm going to throw it down." He said, "I'm done." This guy's a good preacher and got a good church. You know, got some things that need straightened out, but he's got good folk. On my cell phone, I had no idea. But Timmy's daddy could hear the guy talking to me. You don't think God's timing's right on? This man sitting there said he got a son 6 months to live. Preacher's on the phone telling me, "I'm going to quit." He can hear him. Tim's over there crying on the couch, and he looks at me, and his lip starts quivering. And he said, "Preacher, I promise you, Preacher, I'm sitting right there." He said, "Preacher, tell him don't quit. Tell him there's too many people like me. He's got a little boy like I got. Need some men of God to help us. Tell him don't quit. Tell him don't quit." I didn't have to tell that preacher anything else. Didn't even have to tell him anything else. In Gethsemane, we learn of God's power. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Mark 9:23. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you understand tonight that we can't always stay in Canaan? Now, I mean, I know we can be, you know, I understand the process, but sometimes Gethsemane's are home. And in this auditorium tonight, Gethsemane's home to several people. And all you're longing for tonight's God's presence. You're searching for God's purpose. And you're leaning on God's power. And if God can't get you through it, nobody can. Oh, by the way, I'm not a preacher standing up here that flew in here tonight like I just got it all figured out. Because there's been a couple times in my life I told God I can't. There have been a couple times, Brother White, I told the Lord, "God, I can't do this." One of them was the death of an immediate family member. "God, I can't do it." I won't go into that. Many of Gateway have heard the testimony. But God stepped in. God showed up. Now, if you give me a moment tonight, I want the preacher, Brother Tim or whoever, to get whatever music preacher you feel led of God to do. If I may give an invitation, is that all right with you? I told Brother Brad, gentleman that drove me down tonight, I love him. Brother Brad's here tonight, has one leg missing in a major accident, called his mom and told his mom, laying on the ground bleeding, he said, "Mom, I think I'm going to die." He's here tonight. It's a miracle. Drove me down tonight. He walked by you, wouldn't even know he lost his leg. Just a miracle. God showed up in his presence in that hospital room, didn't he, Brother Brad? He had just had a brother just a little while before he committed suicide. And then his mom almost lost him too. A lot of people in Gethsemane. What a day that's going to be. Is anybody looking forward to heaven? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.